I'm Gab, he's Jules. Blue skies over West London, although a little bit windy. Jules, this is our second to last show before our summer hiatus.
Yes.
We got to make this one count. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to get into all the movements that Chelsea have been making.
Very interesting.
It's interesting.
And very interesting.
We're going to show a little bit of love. There's a lot of other stuff going on. We'll be talking some Mason Mount.
Yep.
We'll be talking Josko Gvardiol.
Yes.
I think this is a tremendous signing.
Szoboszlai as well for Liverpool fans.
Szoboszlai. Lionel Messi, of course, because you have to have Messi in every single show.
Of course. And Cesc Fabregas retiring. Are you sad?
I'm not sad.
Why?
You know what? Rather than being sad because he's leaving, I will be happy because he was here. No, that's what you're supposed to say. But look, let's get started and talk about Chelsea. We knew that heading into the season, there was a mountain to climb in terms of financial sustainability.
Yeah.
Financial fair play. They'd spent in excess of 600 million euros. They had an enormous wage bill. And if you looked at what Chelsea did the previous two transfer windows, I think you would have had zero faith that they were going to get this right. But
that's a good point.
I'm going to make this analogy.
Go on.
Rather than Todd Boehly and Thomas Tuchel as it was, or Graham Potter going and making movements on their own, he actually got specialists to do it. The guy he actually hired.
Who would have thought?
You know what? I think the lesson here is, and it applies to Todd, it applies to me. If you have a leak in your plumbing at home, don't try to fix it yourself. Hire a plumber. And I think Stuart and Win Stanley have done a financial phenomenal.
Poor Win Stanley, even.
I said Win Stanley. I said Stuart and Win Stanley.
Oh, okay. They're two different people. I thought you called him Stuart Win Stanley.
No, not quite. But I think they've done a great job with their sales so far, and we're going to talk about that. But let's talk about the sale that hasn't happened yet, which is Christian Pulisic, because this story is really stretching out. Jeff Carlisle reporting and others in Italy reporting that he has a deal, long-term deal in place with Milan. He's going to take a substantial pay cut. He feels that it's the right move, though, in terms of the exposure or whatever for his career. I think the numbers are sort of in the 15 million to 18 million range with add-ons, perhaps. Chelsea want 25 million, and they're holding strong. The Athletic reporting that Lyon have come up with a 25 million offer.
Although, really.
As we've established, there's some dispute about that, right?
It's just not a 25 million offer. It's a much lower offer with some add-on and bonuses and percentage on the resale of the player, which is not, I think, a way of doing this kind of business for this kind of player either. So I don't think the Lyon offer is a very serious offer, and I don't even think that Pulisic would entertain the idea of going to Lyon, not playing in Europe, playing in Ligue 1, in a team that has been average, really, last season and even the season before.
No,
so
my understanding is that that's not going to happen. I think Lyon also have issues with your friends at the DNCG.
Yeah, massively the French.
The regulatory. Well, what's going on there?
They're struggling to put a budget, like a credible budget, together for next season in terms of the wage bill that they have, the money coming in terms of sponsorship and everything. Even the own takeover of John Textor and Eagle is not even fully completed right now. So it's a club that is in a mess. Why would Pulisic go in such a mess? It makes no sense.
So I think this will get done eventually, but I think it might take longer than we expect.
To Milan.
I mean, unless Milan pull out, and I think at some point Chelsea have to be aware of that possibility that at some point Milan says we need to get on with the season. We can't wait forever.
True.
And then Pulisic also has the opportunity to sit on his backside, make his 10, 13 million or however much he makes, and then walk as a free agent in a year's time.
Exactly.
Right. So I think it's an interesting one. I think it says a lot that he's willing to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
Although, you know, he only has so many options. Chelsea, meanwhile, though, going forward, I think Chelsea can keep a harder line with Pulisic because they have sold very, very,
very
well, right?
So very well.
Havertz, 65 million.
Yep.
Mount, round about 55 million.
Yep.
The guys going off to Saudi, Edouard Mendy.
And N'Golo Kante.
N'Golo Kante.
Kante was a
transfer.
Yeah, but you said
reduces the wage
million bill.
Yeah, exactly. Koulibaly. They've got more to come. They've got more
people. Kovacic as well.
Kovacic is another big one. Let me just explain this. This isn't, and they've moved very, very quickly on these sales as well. I think we have to, we've criticized a lot, but we have to praise Stewart and Winstanley here, right?
Completely, yeah. I mean, they had to sell. We knew that before the end of June to close the accounts. They needed that money in. However, they could easily have said, okay, we need money now. We don't have much time. Let's do some quick deals. So we go on a cheap for Kovacic, we go on a cheap for Havertz, or, you know, cheaper than what they wanted. They stood firm. Being a PSG fan, I know, Gabby, how hard it is to sell. And buying, not everybody can buy, but a lot of people can buy players, especially if you've got a lot of money available to you. Selling, however, finding the right club to sell at the right price with the right bonuses, add-on, is difficult.
Especially when people know you have to sell.
Exactly.
I think so, they still have a gaping hole in the middle of the park. Maybe Moises Caicedo's the person to plug it. All right, Jules, let's get into this a little bit more. There's still more players that Chelsea want to move out. Obviously, everybody knows about the 40 guys under contract. There's also the guys who are out on loan.
Yes.
I generally, you know, I didn't have decisions to make. I mean, Ethan Ampadu, for example, who is Ethan Ampadu, maybe not a Chelsea-level player, but he showed that he can be a starter in Serie A. He's got a year left on his contract. Do you sell him now? Do you extend his deal? Maybe get some more money later. He's still only 22, 23
years
young.
Old. Yeah.
He already has a million caps for Bale. No, seriously, he's on track to get like 200 caps.
He's incredible.
So they've got decisions to make on that front. Of the guys, I've identified five people who, say this in the nicest possible way, Chelsea could easily do without at this stage.
Yeah.
Azpilicueta, we think that's very close with Atletico Madrid.
Yeah,
and they're simply going to write off the last year of his contract. So
that's right.
You make some savings there.
Yeah.
Hakim Ziyech was going to go to Saudi.
Yeah, Al Nassr.
By the way, that was an 8 million euro deal, which this idea that the Saudis are all foolish and burning money, I mean, maybe that's not quite so true, is it?
No, like, it's
if
not.
If they valued Ziyech at 8 million.
Yeah, but even the Koulibaly deal was a decent deal to make. From their point of view.
Yeah, and Mendy too in the end.
Yeah,
less
Mendy
than
as
what
well.
They paid Chelsea paid for him. So I wonder if Saudi's rationalizing a little
they
bit.
They have to though.
But obviously all this works well for Chelsea because the important thing is you get cash in, which moves the books, and you reduce your wage bill.
Yeah.
I think Ziyech, unless it's some sort of serious congenital thing where the guy can't just pass a medical anywhere, eventually they'll find a home for him somewhere, maybe on loan or
they
whatever,
should.
Right?
I mean, it's still a weird last six. If you think about World Cup with Morocco, great, everything you want, then that move to PSG that fell through the last minute or almost last second, and whether it was really Chelsea's fault or not, nobody was there to fill the paperwork or send it back to PSG. I don't know, but that was bad for him. Then a bad second half of the season, and now even a deal to Saudi Arabia is not going through. It's just like, you know.
Yeah. Aubameyang, I would assume he's going to go.
Sure, I mean, sure.
But again, it's a kind of thing where I could see this wait, you know, lasting until the last minute because he's probably on vacation. He's got, I don't think he's very bothered. Nobody's beating a path to his door.
No.
He has his contract.
There's no way Poch would want him as a backup number nine, for example, right?
No, I mean, we'll get to the number nine situation, but you've got Nico Jackson, who, you know, very raw or whatever. I think they're still hoping to bring somebody in.
Yeah.
You have Man Armando coming off the injury.
Yeah.
And you have Lukaku, who we'll get to in a minute, who probably doesn't want to be there. So I think Alba gets done, probably on a free, maybe you even have to pay him some money to go
like
away.
Like doing an Azpilicueta.
Or maybe he signs for United on loan in like a big horse type stuff. Just kidding, United fans. Marco Cucurella is a guy who, personally, I would have no issue letting go because I think you've got enough cover at center back because obviously Thiago's back, but more importantly, you've got Badiashile, you've got Chalaba, you've got Fofana, you've got Colwill, who we're going to get to.
Yeah.
But I don't think Cucurella's movable because I don't see anybody's going to give you any kind of significant money for him. He's on a big contract.
Or just a loan. And a loan, and you hope that the club that takes him takes 50% of the wages. And in a way, you save a bit of money on your wage bill for the season to come.
And I think that's going to tie in with what they decide to do with Colwill as well. Just in terms of a numbers game.
Yeah.
Because as we're talking about off air, the backup to Chilwell at left back is Lewis Hall. So, you know, you kind of have that covered. Lukaku.
Wow.
So, Inter have cobbled some money together. to the sale of Marcelo Brozovic.
Yeah.
There's reports in Italy that they're going to try to offer 30 million. Lukaku's going to take a big pay cut in exchange for more years.
Yeah.
At some point, you need to cut your losses on this,
I mean, the only thing maybe that could be possible with for a loan with an almost with an option to buy or an obligation to buy from Inter that is a bit higher than 30, so let's say 50 for the sake of it. And Inter say, okay, we have him on loan, Chelsea still pay some of the wages, we pay some of the wages, and then in a year time, then we make the deal permanent, he takes a pay cut, something like that. If that might work better for Chelsea, maybe. If you're Chelsea, though, if you want the money now and you take the 30, you can maybe go up to 35 plus some bonuses. That takes you to 40, and you take it. You need Lukaku off your books, as quick as possible.
Yeah, I don't know that Inter can push it that high. Or, you know, because if the option from Inter is, okay, we'll just, you know, take another year of him, you pay half his wages, we pay you a couple million for another year.
Yeah.
And then if you're Inter, you're also insulated against the possibility of Lukaku being terrible or Lukaku getting injured or whatever. It's a tough one. I think this gets done because if you're Pochettino coming in, and by the way, his first day was the other day, July 1st, of course.
Yeah.
You're not going to want negative vibes. You're not going to want people who don't want to be there. You don't want somebody who
definitely
is still likely to get booed by Porsche, at least initially.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you want to kind of have that blank slate. I think Chelsea fans are okay with saying we're going to hit the reset. We're going to go with younger players. So you don't want this kind of legacy from the past, even if Lukaku, I think, can certainly contribute.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Which brings us to the incomings. Let's start with midfield. Because in midfield, I had to do... You know how on the show they ask us, like, oh, do the... do their likely 11 with the players they have now, right? So I literally had to play. I put them in, I think it was a 3-4-1-2, for the simple reason that they have a lot of center backs. And this is the way to have the fewest amount of central midfielders. Because Chelsea's central midfielders right now are Enzo Fernandez, Conor Gallagher, Carney, Chukwuemeka, and Cesare Casadei.
Yeah.
Now, Chukwuemeka and Casadei are, I think they're 19 and 20, respectively. I had to put Conor Gallagher as the holding midfielder next to Enzo because literally there is nobody else.
Exactly.
So with that in mind, Andre Santos, his work permit situation seems to be resolved.
It is resolved, but he's again 18 or 19 years old. Not sure he's ready for first team football straight away, for example, in a role like this.
So if we don't know how he's going to play, but if we assume he's going to play, say, 4-2-3-1, right?
Which is the most likely.
Which is the most likely right now because you have Nkunku in that role.
Yeah.
A couple things to say here. One is, who's Nkunku's backup? Is it Conor Gallagher?
I would assume
so. Yeah. Okay. Then for the two in front of the back four, obviously one's going to be Enzo. How many players do you need in your squad to cover those two roles when you're not playing European football?
Four. You still need four.
We would suggest four, right?
One of them could be Casadei or Carney. I don't think there's a problem. He's the fourth in your pecking order, but you need the number one. So one and two, Enzo and whoever is the second starter, those have to be world-class or close to world-class. The third one, so the first sub, if you want, has to be really decent as well. You can't have another kid, for example, with a lack of experience and everything.
So
like
it can't
that.
Be Casadei or Chukwuemeka.
I don't think so. Not for me. I think they come later. They come fourth, fifth.
So we're thinking maybe two signings here.
For me, it's
could you see
undoubtedly
at Andre Santos you send on loan somewhere.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. You know, the Zakaria loan, whatever, last season it worked. It didn't work. He got injured.
Yeah.
You know, I think he was okay. Something.
Yeah, he was okay.
I think you can pick up somebody to do that. You're talking about somebody, a veteran, who can sit in front of the back four, come in when needed, maybe late in game, shut things down.
Yeah.
If you get your A-list guy, who we think is Moises Caicedo, but it could be somebody else. Obviously, they tried for Ugarte as well. That means Andre Santos on loan.
I think so, yeah.
To Strasbourg?
I think this is something that Patrick Vieira, and we will come to Vieira in the quick hits, the new Strasbourg manager, but I think it's something that Vieira would like. We know, for example, that Chelsea are negotiating for Angelo.
We should put Chelsea own a chunk of Strasbourg.
Yeah, yeah. And Angelo, for example, one of the of those promising players, young player in Brazil. And the idea for Chelsea is to get him and then to loan him at Strasbourg, where he will have a season in Ligue 1 with Vieira, etc., and then see what happens with him, which I think the idea very much behind owning Strasbourg as well as Chelsea for Blueco is to be able to do that, which is what other owners with multi-club ownership are doing.
Right. Because it's worked so well.
No, but it's not a bad idea. You know, Angelo would not be ready for Chelsea. Andre Santos, I don't think, would be ready for the Premier League in Chelsea. However, in Ligue 1, I think they would probably do well, and it would be a good experience for them of European football before going to England.
I would tend to agree with you about the two, unless you want Conor Gallagher to back up both positions. But the issue there, again, you have is you're asking Conor Gallagher to do something else, and you're hurting Enzo. I think you need to have two proper defensive midfield options. Because I don't want to see Enzo being the guy in front of the back four on his own directing traffic. Because you lose so much of what he can do and what makes him so good. Which brings us to Moises Caicedo.
Yeah.
I think Brighton, the number's been mentioned, is 100 million. We can say it seems mad.
It'd be 80.
They'll come down from that.
80 will do it.
But there's a Levi Colwill factor in here. Levi Colwill's there on loan last season. I think guy's an exceptional prospect.
Me too.
Brighton want Levi Colwill.
Of course.
Is the obvious thing for Chelsea to do?
Definitely not.
Hang on to Colwill.
100%. Colwill is... Badiashile is one of mine, so I like Badiashile. You know, Colwill is a better player than Benoit Badiashile. I really believe that. I think he will be...
He's a better player right now.
Yeah. I think he will be...
Better than Wesley, too.
At least Wesley is right foot. So if you just look at left foot, the two...
I knew the whole left foot, right foot
thing. But it would be because if you look on paper, Badiashile and Colwill will fight for that left centre-back position, right? More than Fofana, more than Thiago Silva, more than Chalobah even. I think it would be a mistake from Chelsea's point of view to get rid of Levi Colwill. Even if that means getting Caicedo for less money... Because you can offer 50 plus Colwill for Caicedo instead of a whole 80 million, I would try to make Caicedo without having to let Colwill go.
I think the logical thing to do here, right? What I would do if I were Chelsea is I would loan Colwill. If I can loan him back to Brighton if you want, give him another year in that environment. I agree with you. I would not let him go and see if you can use that to take some pounds off.
Yeah. I think that would be the best. It would be the best scenario, man.
I also think you don't want to be locked into has to be Caicedo because that's a dangerous one. That's how you end up spending a lot more than you want to spend.
So Chelsea didn't have enough money for Ugarte, really.
At the time.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's a bit different for Caicedo, but Brighton know how much money Chelsea got from the players that they let go.
Would somebody like Palinha make sense?
I think so.
He wouldn't have to move house. He's just on the road.
Yeah, very good. He can still take the bus to go.
No, I think that just something just more generally in the transfer market. I think once you move beyond the very top A-list, like the Mbappe and Haaland, people seem to forget that players are fungible. You know, there's one other player who can do the job of this player. Maybe not as good, and we love Caicedo because he's so young and the personality, whatever else. But you have to have an alternative. You have to have a plan B and say, you know what? If I can get somebody who's maybe 10% worse than Caicedo, but cost me half as much, and then I use that money to get a striker, then you do that. And I think knowing how Stewart, especially, has worked in the past, I think that's exactly what they're doing. They're not getting fixated on Caicedo. We must have Caicedo at any cost. Because you know, and when Stanley knows, because he was on the other side for Brighton,
true.
You negotiate with those guys, you get badly burned. Up front, if Lukaku goes, as we expect, I mean, can you play the... And Alba goes, obviously. Can you play, just go through the season with Nico and... And I Armando Broja and a bit of Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, put Fofana there if you want. As in David Dacho Fofana, the other Fofana. I think it'd be really risky. Really risky because Nico Jackson might work and Pochettino might mold him into what he wants as a number nine and he might score you between 10 and 15 league goals, which is what would be great for a first season. But it might also not work out at all. He might need more time.
He's very raw.
He's had one season in La Liga with Villarreal.
And he scored six goals, I think, no?
A little bit more. I think he had 12. Okay. But some up and downs, some periods in the season where he disappeared. other periods where he was good. I mean, this is a player that in January was going to go to Bournemouth.
Right.
The only reason he didn't go to Bournemouth was because the medical failed. He failed the medical. Otherwise, he would be a Bournemouth player right now. And Chelsea and Bournemouth, even the Chelsea that we've seen last season with no Europe, it's not Bournemouth. Is he ready? I think he's more ready for Bournemouth right now than he is for Chelsea. However, Poch can make him, can make it work, I'm sure. How long will that take? I don't know. But is it not risky to start the season just with him? And Broja back from a bad injury, Fofana, again, unproven.
Yeah, the level Fofana played at against Norway, and it's not like, by the way, when he was playing in Norway, he was Erling Haaland scoring 50 goals,
no,
right?
That's true.
You can see this is another slow burn.
Yeah,
this is another
guy showed promises, but yeah.
Probably should be going on loan. Hmm. Broja, you know, I mean, it's a little hard.
Yeah, of course, you love him.
But, you know, it's a serious, serious injury he suffered. Yeah. We have no idea about his fitness.
Yeah.
Would you be okay with bringing in a loan? I'm paying for it just to get you through the season.
But yeah, of course you could. The thing is, isn't it delaying the issue? The issue will be back in a year time. Okay, Lukaku goes on loan. You bring, let's say, Vlahovic on loan for the sake of it. Then in a year time, what do you do? Okay, Lukaku has to come back. Vlahovic is going back to Juve. Do we buy Vlahovic now in a year time? Do we sell Lukaku? Why not just trying, if financially you've got enough money, why not trying to sign that big number nine now that Poch would be very happy with, that he can build a team around, that would strike the partnership with Nkunku? Let's not forget, okay, you start with Nico. Nkunku and Nico start like trying to get the bearings together, the understanding together, the movement together. Nico doesn't work. In 6 months, in January, you go like, okay, that's not working. We need more goals. So now you go and get another striker, and Nkunku has to do that all over again. Get the guy now. And it's much better, I think.
So the Vlahovic one is interesting. My understanding is that he was offered by intermediaries to Chelsea.
Yeah,
rather
I remember.
Than Chelsea saying, oh, look, we've uncovered
them. No,
and I think Vlahovic would represent a departure from what Boehly and Igbali have said they want to do, which is, okay, we're ready to spend big transfer fees, but, you know, we're going to have long-term contracts and we're going to have much, much lower wages. Because Vlahovic is already on big wages at Juve. Juve paid a lot of money for Vlahovic. Vlahovic is coming off a terrible season at Juve. Juve know that. Juve know that in normal circumstances, you expect Vlahovic to, you know, be scoring 20, 25, 30 goals. I mean, you still have the work rate and the technical ability, and he's a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah.
So that's what you work on. But for me, if Vlahovic is going to cost you 70, 80 million, this is not the time. This is not the time to do it.
Maybe I understand that. Maybe
I mean, I think you pass on it. All right, knowing what we know now, and we don't know about Caicedo, we don't know who the striker is. And assuming they can sell these guys and meet financial sustainability requirements.
Yeah.
What's a fair goal for Josep Pochettino? Is it Europa League? Or is it top four?
Yeah, if you want to be demanding, has to be top four. This is Chelsea Football Club, which I know on the back of a really bad season with all the changes, with all the drama, I get that, it's still Chelsea Football Club. And it's Pochettino, and it will potentially be a really good squad. You know, I'm sorry, a squad with Fofana. No, but it's true. I'm sorry, but if you look at Fofana, Enzo, and Nkunku, even Mudryk, at some point Mudryk is going to work out. I saw him yesterday against. No, but it's true, and that was only under 21 Euros.
Plays against the French under 21.
I know, but there was a point. There's still talent there. Talent we might never see at Chelsea, but there's still talent.
I'd say the one thing I would say to this. I mean, yeah, obviously there's a pedigree and there's a talent, but if you go down, and I think Pochettino has to be smart in how he manages this, right? Mm-hmm. This is a really young team. And if the idea is to be good 2 or 3 years down the line as opposed to now, there's a trade-off there. And you may trade off development versus results this season.
Yeah, okay.
So if I were in charge, I would say, Poch, we want to play good football, not just pretty football, but good, effective football. We want these guys to grow. We expect Europa League.
This is not Southampton, though, okay? This is closer to Poch's Spurs than Poch's Southampton.
Closer to, but not there yet.
No, okay, but still.
I mean, because, you know, we can go on about these guys and blah, 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 but, you know, when I look at the players that they have, you've got fullbacks who are very good, but who had serious injury problems.
Yeah.
Thiago Silva, with Fofana, another, you know, walking sick note. by the Shield fine. You have a goalkeeper who a lot of people would like to replace, but you're stuck with him because of the crazy deal that you did before.
Yeah.
You don't have a center forward right now.
No.
You have other young players who could be really good. You've got Nkunku who's going to have to adapt to a new league. I don't know. I think you don't want to put the pressure on Poch to say you have to finish top four.
No, of course.
For me, what I would be looking for, I'd even be okay with seventh or eighth. We're missing out on Europe if there is progress. And you measure progress not just through results.
True, but let's not be too sweet either and too accommodating.
It's, I'm not going to
be sweet.
There's
no Europe next season. So it's a one game a week season.
Yeah.
One game a week season gives you a lot of time to work with, a lot of time to prepare.
Poch can even bring back his two-a-days.
No, yeah, which he will, certainly in preseason. I'm just saying, like, okay, we don't have to be too demanding, but top six has to be the minimum. Top six has to be the minimum.
I think that's the goal, but if you don't get there, what I'm more interested in is seeing this team grow and perform. Anyway, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about this. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules. All right, enough Chelsea. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Manchester United are expected to confirm the signing of one Mason Mount today. 55 million plus 5 million in bonuses reported. This is a good deal for Manchester United, right?
Yeah, I think it's a good deal. You might say it's a bit expensive, maybe, but he's 24 years old. He's an England international. I like him a lot. I think he's got great potential. Okay, Chelsea fans might disagree and saying that they felt he was disappointing, certainly in the last 18 months, let's say. I think he's got huge potential. And I think if you unlock the potential, maybe by starting by playing him in the same position all the time instead of moving him around all the time everywhere, which I don't think helped at Chelsea, I think he can do something. But time will tell. He really wanted the move. I expect him to play on the left of that midfield three with Casemiro and Bruno Fernandes in the 4-3-3 of Ten Hag, which I think would suit him well. It's a great figure for Chelsea to get back for an homegrown player. I don't know what you think, but for me, certainly right now, it's a good deal for everybody.
With a year left on his deal, yeah, I think it is actually kind of a deal that can help all clubs. I think there's so much negativity around United right now that people are like, Mason Mount. But what is a shame is the way the relationship deteriorated between him and the club. That I think is a shame.
Yeah, I agree. But sticking with United, Gabby, and that's maybe why the United fans are maybe not so happy with the amount of the Mount transfer, is that Mark Ogden reports that their summer transfer budget was £120 million, which means they've spent already half of it of Mount, and they're still in the goalkeeper and the centre forward at least, and maybe even another midfielder or centre back.
Yeah, so obviously, with half the money going there, it's $120 million plus whatever they can raise from sales.
Yeah, but they haven't sold anyone yet.
Well, the problem is they don't have that many saleable assets, right?
Well, Harry Maguire is not saleable.
Well, Harry Maguire. Exactly. So, first of all, if you sell Harry Maguire, you have to bring in another body anyway. Yeah. But secondly, Harry Maguire is on huge wages.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to shift. And you're going to take a hit probably on the amortization if you sell him anyway, right?
True.
I'm sure they would like to do that. They would love it if Maguire listens to Southgate and says, hey, look, you want to keep playing for England, you got to start playing regularly somewhere at some level.
Yeah.
But the difficult thing is he's hard to move. They might even love to shift Sancho, right? Because
Martial.
Because Martial, there's no forwards on this team.
At some point, one would come. Come on.
Yeah, but they probably need more than one. I mean, this is the tricky thing. This is why they, in the end, they tried to get De Gea to stay. on reduced wages. He's still a free agent. He could still come back on less money. But this is the other issue with you know, they like Onana. They looked at Onana, the reports of a $40 million offer. I think that was something through intermediaries, which was turned down. But they like by Justin
Bigelow,
Bigelow from Feyenoord as well. It's funny how he always goes back to Dutch keepers or keepers who's played
of course,
in Holland. But again, you need to view that within the context of the striker.
Yeah.
I think Alanga is somebody they can sell, get a little bit of money back for. I think they can probably sell, to sell one out of McTominay and Fred.
Yeah, definitely.
McTominay, I think, would have a market among the types of teams that like that kind of player. Although McTominay, I suppose, could also do a job at center back if you shift Maguire. Maybe you don't need to buy another. They're playing Tetris right now with this team.
But this is the question I've got for you. Okay, let's just think that they need a goalkeeper and a center forward. Okay, you've got 60 million left. What's your priority? Would you go 50 on a striker?
No.
And 10 on a goalkeeper? Would you go 30-30? Would you go high on the goalkeeper and low on the striker, keeping Martial and knowing that you can play Rashford through the middle? What do you do, though? They must have a priority in mind, because if you spend 40 on David Raya, you're left with 20. Who'd you get for 20 as a number 9?
Well, 20 plus what you get for Alanga. Okay, I think what they would do then, they would get a young player. But look, I know this is the problem. This is the team is completely lopsided down the left, because Garnacho's left-footed, Rashford plays on the left, Jadon Sancho's there too.
Yeah.
They have to find a way to sort this. Can you swap Sancho for somebody? Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe. Not with those wages, right? Not at the top level. That's why they're so stuck. I wouldn't be surprised if in the end they end up prioritizing one position or the other, right? See, with
they
the best possible deal, either we get Onana and then we get a guy on loan like they did last year. By the way, with all the negativity, last year, Weghorst on loan.
No, you can't say that here.
No, but I'm saying they finished top four, right?
Not because of Weghorst.
No, but that also tells you that maybe the rest of the team's okay, so I don't know. If Onana does go, Inter have their sights set on two young keepers, Shakhtar's Anatoly Trubin, who I love, and Valencia's Georgi Mamardashvili, owned by, of course, Meriton Holdings.
Yes.
Who do you like more?
I mean, I guess what Trubin has that Mama doesn't have is the European experience. He's played in Europe already. He's played for Ukraine. He's younger.
Taller. He's more handsome.
I'm not sure about the handsomeness, but I will go for Trubin personally, but he might also be more expensive.
I think he definitely would be more expensive.
Tottenham have completed the signing of James Maddison from Leicester City in a deal worth around £40 million. Gabby, you're a big fan.
I am a big fan. I think this is a good price at this stage of his career, obviously following what happened with Leicester. I'm really curious to see how all the pieces fit, because he has a lot of attacking players now. Kane, Son, Kulusevski sticking around. Lucas Moura, they're going to try to shift.
Richarlison.
So, I don't know. Are we going to see him playing deeper? I don't know. I trust in Ange, and I want to see how he works out. And Manu Solomon, we're going to get to later.
Yeah.
Dominic Szoboszlai is officially a Liverpool player in a move worth around $60 million. Jules, phenomenal player. We're big fans.
Yeah.
After he came back after his injury. But is it a little crowded up front, with given they already have Darwin Nunez, Mo Salah, Jota, Luis Diaz, Cody Gakpo, and now him? Or does Will Klopp give us a new look?
He's not coming to play in the front three. I don't believe that a second. He's coming to play in midfield to do a bit what...
Which he hasn't done much.
No. Let's be honest here.
And he does have the Gerrard tattoo, so maybe he can be Gerrard-like?
Yeah, even his explanation of the Gerrard tattoo, saying that he was not watching much football when he was a kid on television. I mean, okay... Let's see, number 8, Toucarí. He has played, usually he plays wide. He played wide in a 4-4-2 at Leipzig. For example, he's never really played in a midfield 3 in a kind of a number 8 role. But I'm all for it. I want to see it. I want to see this new look Liverpool, where you would expect Trent to play inside, certainly when they have the ball. So you would think that McAllister and Szoboszlai then will push up into the two half spaces. I want to see it. I don't know if he will need a bit of time to adapt.
Really curious, because Szoboszlai is also a guy who can take players on and beat them, which is harder to do from a central position.
Very true.
So I don't know. I'm interested.
I'm very curious. I want to see it. Yeah, I want to see. Manchester City are on the verge of confirming the signing of Josko Gvardiol from RB Leipzig. Gab, I think Leipzig and their sporting director, Max Obel, were very open about this.
I love it. I love it when clubs are grown up.
I thought of
I wish they could take a lesson from Leipzig.
Yeah.
Right? And not their PR people who are like, we don't comment on speculation. And then they pick up the phone to the same three people and go and brief them and say this, even though it's not true because it serves our interests. Look, they said, like, yeah. we value him at 100 million. He wants to leave.
Hey.
He wants to go there. Maybe we'll work something out. Hopefully we'll work something out. Like, they're negotiating. I think the fee will probably be over 80 million, a record for a defender. But I think it's tremendous. If you look at his tools,
yeah,
I think as an individual taken in isolation, I think he's better than any of the guys they have. And that includes Ruben Dias. Now, will he be better than them in Pep's system straight away? Probably not. No. It may take some time. But I am so excited about this. And I think City fans should be.
Me too.
Lucas Hernandez to Paris Saint-Germain is about done, Jules.
Why are you laughing for?
Well, they need another perma injury guy who's made of glass. Are you feeling good about this?
I've got no feelings. Thank you very much.
what's the fee?
45 even, I think.
Well, considering Bayern paid 80 million for him. Or
true.
Whatever.
We got a bargain.
You got a bargain.
We got a bargain. Where do I start quickly? The injuries, yeah, that's a worry, of course. The one he picked up at the Euros on that first game against Australia after a few minutes. He hasn't played since, or hardly not. The fact that he was born in Marseille, that openly and publicly has said before that he's a big Marseille fan, that he wants Marseille, that he actually took the mickey off PSG after beating them in the Champions League final with Bayern. I don't know. I'm not a fan, and I was not before. I'm even less now that he plays for my club. I don't know.
Is he going to be your undersized center back, or is he going to be like your... I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't know. Ruben Loftus-Cheek is now a Milan player, Gab, but they're not done. Targets include Yunus Musa from Valencia, Tijani Reinders from AZ Alkmaar. Is that enough to fill Sandro Tonali's big shoes?
No, Davide Frattesi probably would be, yeah. But of course, there's, you know, it looks like they're going head-to-head with Inter
just about
picking him up. Yeah. I think we're going to see a different Milan. I think we're going to see, you know, you're not going to have things go through Tonali the way they did before. He's going to be a big loss. Reinders, from what I've seen playing for Alkmaar, is more of a ball winner. Maybe that's what you need to freeze up Benacer to do better. Musa, I mean, Valencia is obviously is the Peter Lim inspired like Guernica horror show.
Yeah.
So that might be one for the future. Loftus-Cheek is different. You can create some mismatches in Serie A if he's motivated. Now, there was a time, the year that the Chelsea won the Europa League with Sarri, the last 3 months of the season, Loftus-Cheek was one of the best midfielders around. Maybe? No?
I'm not sure. Right. I'm not sure at all.
Marca reports that Kylian Mbappe is too expensive
too
for
expensive.
Real Madrid this summer. And even next summer, on a free transfer, he may well be too expensive. They say he's a prisoner of his money. He'll need to take a big pay cut to fulfill his dream of playing at the Bernabeu.
Okay. I think Kylian Mbappe is a very, very smart guy. And so is his family around him. I think they know that the contract that he has in Paris was signed and was done in a very special environment, of special context. He doesn't expect people to then pay him the same after the contract at PSG expires.
Really? So you're basically saying he would be open to the possibility of a pay cut or a bonus structure?
It's not a pay cut per se, because because the wage that he's on now is completely unrealistic for the world of football.
So if he's going to make less money at Real Madrid, that is literally a pay cut.
Yeah, but it's not like if he'd been on that money for 10 years and now he decides to go for... this was an exceptional contract.
Okay, so basically, my main thing is you're reassuring Real Madrid fans.
Yeah, of course. And this is mind games. This is mind games, as we know that they happen all the time. You know exactly where this is coming from, anyway. Joan Laporta says that Barcelona still owe Messi some money, but they're working things out with La Liga. I mean,
here's another opportunity to go and bash Barto. I didn't quite get this. He says it's the way it was structured when during COVID, they spread out the payments, whatever else. I'm sure it's accounted for. I'm sure La Liga can probably give them a pass for this. I don't think it's a big deal. I do wonder about him talking about Messi all the time. And
obsessed.
He even repeated again, oh, Messi didn't want to come here because he doesn't want to be in a high-pressure environment. So, you know, he's on the beach in Miami, whatever.
Yeah.
Sticking with Barca, Laporta also said Xavi understands money is tight. So would Oriol Romeu offer cheap and cheerful Busquets alternative?
You've lost me a Busquets alternative. Are we talking for someone who's going to take Busquets' position?
Yes. In certain games.
So no. Leave me alone with Oriol Romeu. I like the guy. He did well for Southampton for all those years. He's 31. play for Girona. There's a reason why he's played for Girona now, right? As a squad member, maybe they already have Eric Garcia, so hey, Romeo would be better. But come on, not a starter. Team Voyage, John Juventus, Gav, no more flying winger.
Well, as I learned from you, he's been playing right back, left back.
Exactly.
He's already come out and says, oh, I want to play right wing back. So you already decided that he's going to put you in a 3-5-2. This is what you want to hear, though. Seriously, he's obviously a smart guy. He grew up privileged because of who his dad is. Yeah. He's under no illusions. He knows what he needs to do to fit in. He wants to better himself. You know, initially in Italy, they're like, oh, Weah's going to replace Di Maria. No, he's not going to replace Di Maria. No. Hopefully he'll contribute more than Di Maria did.
Yeah, yeah.
You and I feel differently about the number of extremely tall central defenders Bayern actually need, Jules. What's the latest on Min Jae Kim's joining Bayern from
Napoli? Yeah, this will be done, I think, this week. It's pretty close now that Lucas Hernandez has left for PSG. What's wrong with having three really good centre-backs? Whether they're tall or small, it doesn't matter as long as they're good, right?
Okay. Like I said last time, this is my thinking, right?
Right.
It's about skill set. I'm not saying you can't be tall or be a good center back, but I think if you have these resources, you've kind of locking yourself into playing a back three, which is fine, although I don't know how it works with the rest of the Bayern team. I don't think Kim Min-jae is there to go and be on the bench, and obviously they spend a ton of money.
No, but maybe De Ligt or maybe Upamecano.
Maybe De Ligt wants to be on the bench.
No, but maybe Tuchel said, like, you know what, I need something different, and I would pick the two best out of the three.
I need something different, but I get three guys who have the same body
they
size.
Okay, body shape maybe, but...
They have different characteristics. Yes, De Ligt can pass the ball.
Yeah.
Upamecano, not so much.
He tries. Let's put it that way.
I don't know. Kim...
It's a bit of a mix of the two.
Kim's more of a physical center back.
True, but he played a year with Spalletti, so surely he's improved technically and in his
distribution. Yeah, surely he's Beckenbauer now. No, look, three players you know that I really, really like a lot.
Yeah.
I just... Natural. Look, it's unconventional. I love it when people do... Thomas Tuchel is an unconventional man who does unconventional things.
Very true.
Love that. I don't want a guy who does what everybody else does. I'm curious to see how this works out.
Yeah, let's see. Sticking with Napoli, they made a 30 million euros offer on his replacement, who is Wolves' Max Kilman. Yeah, that's right. You heard right. Wolverhampton Wanderers' Max Kilman, which was rejected by Wolves. Are they saying something that we don't? This is really out of the box thinking from Napoli.
You're not going to make a joke that they thought they were going to offer the 30 million for Nathan Collins and then they got...
He's on his way to Brentford already.
I know. So, this is a weird one. I mean, 30 million for Kilman, I think, is a fair offer.
Yeah.
In terms of what he can contribute, can he replace Kim? There are some aspects of Kim and Kilman, like the fact that both have names that starts with KI and then there's an M that comes. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't go much higher than this. You know, you tried it, you wanted to move? No? Okay, fine. Then let Uncle George sort you out. Simple as. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Gab. Just go to Indeed.com/Gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Patrick Vieira is back in manager.
Vieira.
He's taking over at Strasbourg, who were nearly relegated last season, part owned by Chelsea.
Yeah.
Are you surprised he's not a bit further up the food chain? Like, put it this way. If Chelsea had invested in Strasbourg, would Patrick Vieira be there?
No, definitely not. That's a good question. I think he went there because of the ambition that they've showed in terms of what they want to do with Strasbourg. One of the... the clubs with the biggest fan base in France, historical club, of course. I think
Frank
the project
LeBeuf's
is
in, old club, most Frank important. LeBeuf. Arsene Wenger's old club.
That's right. Gilbert Gress as well. One of the best academies in the country right now. Loads of good, very promising
young
players.
Was it Gilbert Gress with the really big hair? Yes. He looked like a mushroom or something?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, but manager of the greatest team that they had that won the league in 79-80. So I can see what Patrick, who wanted to stay in the Premier League, or in England, let's put it that way, would have taken a club in the Championship, for example, and they still talks with Leeds. Why this became more interesting, because you also have Chelsea behind you, and we mentioned before, if you can get Andre Santos on loan, if you can get Angelo on loan, you don't know like who else you can get. You know, I think that that job becomes more appealing to you than what we saw from Strasbourg last season, for example, where they were not good from start to finish, changed managers halfway through, and just about avoid relegation.
I really like Patrick Vieira. I have a lot of time for him. I'm surprised others further up the food chain didn't go for him. What he has now, though, is he's a guy who's introduced into three massive, like high up, and now three massive English clubs, and that City, Arsenal, are now through Blue Coat Chelsea, which means he's got tremendous networks, and I'll be really curious to see what happens next.
Yeah, me too. Felix Lemshah is on his way to Borussia Dortmund, reportedly. Gab, it's a 30 million euro fee for the former Manchester City man. Makes sense to you?
I think he did a job and a not very good Wolfsburg team.
Four goals last season. Loads of injuries.
But he grew. 30 million sounds like a lot. Sounds like you're paying potential. We already have Sebastian Haller up front.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you say, well, Moukoko's never going to lead the line for me, but maybe, you know, maybe that's the thinking. I don't know. It sounds like
a lot of money.
It sounds like a lot of money for what you're buying potential. I think he did show glimpses last year, though, that he can play, and the team was just such a zoo.
And remember, he had that under 21 euros with Germany. He was outstanding when he was on loan at Anderlecht at the time, and we thought, okay, this is it now. And since then, I know there have been some good moments, but I don't know. I'm still a bit undecided over the potential.
Speaking of undecided, Monaco have appointed Adi Hütter, whose first name is Adolf. Let's get it out of the way. Jules, the wheels fell off last season. Can he put them back on?
It's a big task. They're changing sporting directors, as we mentioned before.
No more Lauren Stewart.
No more Paul Mitchell either. They go in. Philippe Clement did some good things at times, but overall, I don't think had the character and the strength to keep that club working. That dressing room was apparently quite difficult to manage. Adi Hütter, I don't know, we thought that going to Gladbach at the time would be good for him. He lasted one season and it was not a good season. I like what we saw from Adi Hütter in the past, but this is a very different environment, and Monaco is not an easy club. I don't know, there's always some drama, there's always issues, there's always problems. Now they're going to lose probably Disasi, they're going to lose Fofana, they might lose Ben Yedder. They will have to replace all those players, start a new cycle. I don't know. I don't think it's an easy job. But good luck to him. Of course he can do it.
With a new sporting director, the two agents who brought them all the talented young players in the past, now the relationships have soured a little bit.
So he's still a Red Bull guy, so he might still have...
You know, he's going to get other people.
Yeah.
Other pipelines. But yeah, no, it's interesting. It's a gamble. I mean, he really pitched himself to try to come to the Premier League. Didn't work out.
Yeah.
That's obviously a good place to relaunch yourself from.
Arsene Wenger has proposed changes to the offside rule, Gab, and FIFA would like to try it next season in Italy and in Holland. What do you think, and what are the changes?
So the changes, and by the way, this explanation was kind of clear as mud, at least to me, about how they are. But essentially, right now, you're offside if any goal-scoring part of your body is beyond the last...
Even defender. From a millimetre.
And... what he says is effectively, no, we should kind of reverse it and say if any goal scoring part of your body is onside, and usually given the player's body positions, it's going to be their feet because they're leaning forward, then the player's onside.
Yeah.
And so that means that guys who play on the shoulder of the last defender would gain half a yard, and that could lead to more goals and so on. I don't know. I think it does give a little advantage to a striker. I think there's still a bunch of hoops to jump through before this actually gets approved. My concern is this gives an advantage to a certain type of striker, right? The old Thierry Henry, you know, play on the shoulder of the last defender, beat him for pace, through ball or ball over the top. People say, oh, we'll get more goals. Yeah, but you get more crappy goals and more repetitive stuff. I personally think the rule is fine as it is. What I would like to see, if you're going to tinker with the offside rule and you don't want to have teams play with very high lines to go and to compress the midfield to take space away, then I think the way you do it is you consider maybe you say offside only applies in the final third of the pitch, which was an old proposal that's been talked about for a long time. That creates more space. It makes it harder to press. That can make things more exciting if you feel the need to tinker with it.
If you do.
I'd be more interested in something like that than this, frankly.
Yeah.
More managers in Ligue 1.
Hey!
This one is neither a legendary World Cup winner nor an Austrian named Adolf. What's the deal with 34-year-old Francesco Farioli taking over at Sir Jim Ratcliffe's Nice? This is serious outside-the-box thinking, Jules. I assume you're familiar with this man's background?
Yes, I am indeed. Yeah. He's one of Roberto De Zerbi's disciples. He used to be his goalkeeping coach. That's how he started, being a very innovative goalkeeping coach. And then clearly had a lot of ability to just coach not just the goalkeepers, but the whole team. He was a number two. And then
never played professional football.
He's 34.
What was the guy's name then? I've already forgotten. Ruben Celis. He's a bit like
Ruben
that.
Ruben Celis,
right?
Although
he got his start at Fatih Karagümrük.
Yeah, he went to Turkey as a number one.
And then at Alanyaspor, where he'd been there before as a goalkeeping guy.
That's right. So if you look at...
He must interview really, really well.
So he was very impressive, apparently. Florent Gisloffi, the Nice sporting director, very impressed. Speaks English, speaks Italian, speaks a bit of Spanish, apparently. We learned French very quickly. He's clearly very good with languages.
Let's pretend he speaks Turkish, too.
So having watched now and some of the stuff that he did in Turkey with very, very average players in terms of building up play, starting from the back, the movements, attracting the opposition, a bit like what De Zerbi does and has been doing for many, many years now, you could see the attraction for him. It's still a big gamble, I get that, because there's hardly no experience there, and then going in one of the big five leagues is big. But you know what? I'm not against it. They went for Favre before, who is the complete opposite in terms of experience, age, personality, anything you want. That didn't work out at all. They've got a lot of young players who I think are ready and hungry to learn and to listen. So go for it.
So this is kind of the Italian version of Will Still or Julian Nagelsmann, right?
Exactly.
These guys never played football, super young, get thrown into the hot seat.
Exactly.
Good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck to him. I want to see it. Atletico Madrid are on the verge of picking up Javi Galán for the left flank from Celta Vigo. Do you like this one?
Not a lot of money. Humble, hardworking. Yeah. Humble, hardworking player. I think they want an alternative in that role. I don't know that he... I don't know how much they actually need one, to be honest. But hey, what El Cholo wants, El Cholo gets, and they're not chucking money around. I mean, I'm still more interested to do, what the heck are they going to do with your boy João Félix? That's what I'm more interested in doing.
That's true.
Manor Solomon is on his way to Tottenham Hotspur. Jules, we were so excited by him at Shakhtar. I didn't have much of an impact at Fulham on loan last season. He's 23 years old. He has an upside. I think his contract was due to expire in December. In the end, they let him go on a free.
Yeah, you know that FIFA rule, yeah.
It's more talent, by the way. I mean, this is... I'm sure we're going to get emails from Shakhtar president Palkin and his PR guy talking about how they're stealing players from his club.
Yes.
Which to some
they're not
they
happy.
Are.
Yeah, they're not happy.
But where does he fit?
It's a good question. He had a couple of... A good month at Fulham. You remember he scored, I think, 3 goals in the Premier League back-to-back almost. He loves those curlers from the left-hand side with his right foot in the top corner, that kind of stuff. He's 23. I think there's something there. We saw that with Shakhtar. Remember, he played in the Champions League as well, so he's got a bit of experience. But if you... We mentioned them before. Richarlison, Maddison, Kane, Son, now Solomon, Kulusevski... I mean, it's good
for a lot
for
of bodies.
So look, it's good for Postecoglou. We have loads of options, but even on a free, I'm not really sure if you need Solomon right now. But you know what? The fact that I love the most about Manor Solomon, you know, he's got an Israeli passport and he's got another passport. You know that.
What's the other one?
Portuguese. Like he did, he used the same trick. Let's put it that way. Then Roman Abramovich.
Yeah. So. No, this was basically for it's kind of like reparations for during the
Jews a very long time ago in the 13th century or 14th century. If you could proven that you had some sort of
Portuguese blood.
Yeah, Portuguese blood from the 14th century when the Jews were expelled from Portugal, like they were from Spain, by the way.
Okay, so
then you get European passport. Hey, that's great.
Roman Abramovich used this, and I wonder how many genealogists did he get to trace his bloodlines back to Portugal?
So I was told you just need a letter from the Jewish community center in either Lisbon or Porto, but the Porto one seems to be quite loose right. to write those letters. And if you compare to the Lisbon office, the Porto one has had like 1,000 passports agreed to just a far more rigid process in Lisbon or something like that. It's an amazing story, really.
That's
and,
awesome.
You know, there's nothing illegal, I'm not saying, the Solomon Portuguese passport.
Or the Abramovich one.
Or the Abramovich, of course. It's just that now, Manuel Solomon is obviously an EU player for whoever he signs and not an outside of EU player.
Which post-Brexit makes no difference.
No, for England, but still, you know what I mean. I left it late. Sorry, Atletico Madrid will go back to their old club crest, sticking with them after a vote by the fans. Gab, I know you love talking about this kind of stuff.
I think this is so stupid. So the Atletico club crest has the red, and it's got the seven stars about it.
Yeah.
It's got the red and white stripes, as you imagine. And then up in the corner, there's a bear who's a symbol of
a small bear. Yeah.
Small bear, you know, not very original. I mean, Moscow, I think, is also a bear or whatever. And then there's like a little tree with oranges on it or whatever. So I think 7 or 8 years ago, they decided to change it to make it a more stylized bear. Now they're going back to the old bear, which they had for like 90 years. Look, the fans got to vote on it. You can put whatever you want on there. You know, you can put Smokey Bear on there. For like it doesn't change things substantially. I'm not sure why we're talking about it, but it
matters to
the fans.
Yeah. They were very happy.
Listening to the fans.
Yeah.
I left it late because you want to hurt your feelings, but
you don't have
to.
No, you don't have to.
France were knocked out of the European Championships by European Under 21 Championships by Ukraine, who will now face Spain in the semifinal, with Israel taking on England in the other semifinal. Mighty England, by the way, with Lee Carsley, who they haven't conceded a single goal in the tournament.
No, Julian Lescott as his assistant as well. Well done to them.
Who you got?
I've got England. I mean, Spain are really good and they've played well, although in the quarterfinals it was not as convincing. England have an amazing squad on paper and they've done well. Again, that second half against Portugal was maybe not as good as what they've done maybe before. But those two will have to be the favourite for France. I mean, the squad was an incredibly talented squad. It's just a shame that the manager, and it's not just on the manager, but Sylvain Ripoll is a dreadful coach. He's a terrible manager.
Well, did he tell the
guys? I don't even want to say his name anymore.
Sorry. Are you going to blame the manager? France went go 1-0 up. Ryan Cherki, who's really should be
great
for
goal,
Italy, of course.
Great goal.
Great awareness.
He doesn't play for teams who get knocked out in the group stages.
Maybe if he played for Italy, maybe Italy would have advanced. But then the penalty afterwards on Mudryk.
Yeah, it's your friend Kalulu. I mean, to be fair,
you know
I'm
what
not.
He's going
to
do?
Like, I'm not even sure how much of a pen it was. I have to be honest here. But
there was contact. No.
Yeah, and then Mudryk with a great assist, but that run not picked up. I mean, it was dreadful from France. Dreadful from the man. I never want to see that head coach ever again. I don't want him to take them to the Olympics next year. I don't want him to be ever involved in French football ever again. He's dreadful.
Wait until Ronald Koeman replaces him. But by the way, so who are we predicting? You got England over Spain? Sorry, you got England over Israel?
Yeah. I mean, I think England-Spain would be the final, which is a bit of a dream final, to be fair. Both teams have a lot of players who are starters in their clubs, in La Liga and the Premier League.
So Sergei Palkin's going to be upset about that too, that you went against Ukraine.
Ukraine were really good collectively, and Mudryk didn't play before because of a small injury. Now he played. He did what he had to do, really. Bondarenko played really well. So Trubin played really well. So they've got really good players. I just think that England and Spain right now are better. But Israel, this Israeli generation who did well in the Under-20 World Cup, in the last Euros as well, are really good. So, Oscar Glor and all the others,
it's not a fluke.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not taking them for granted that Spain and England will go through, but they have to be favourite right now. Gigi Buffon, 45 years old.
45 years young.
He's years old. Come on, please, retire, mate. Now it's time to retire. Could be the latest player going to Saudi Arabia, Gab. Is it because he was too disappointed not to get promoted with Parma last season?
No, I think Gigi Buffon has shown, having won everything, from the World Cup to the Champions League, whatever, he wants to go and try to bring football to football backwaters, cultures that you know, haven't had big time football, which is probably why he signed for Paris Saint-Germain. And after having done that, he wants to go and no, I'm kidding. I don't know. They put a lot of money on his plate.
Please retire now.
Why? He was all right last season. He wasn't terrible. You can keep going. I mean, 25 million? You'd consider it, right?
He's got enough money. Come on.
You're just annoyed because he's older than you. If Saudi offered you.
I go now.
There you go.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Christophe Galtier has now been officially charged for comments he made while at Nice. Jules, where is this going?
He's going to court to start with in December. December 15th, I think, is the date that the Nice tribunal has set. I think he's in trouble big time. Let's just remind people quickly that when he was the Nice manager, he's accused by the sporting director at the time of Nice, Julien Fournier, to use words like there are too many black players in our team, there are too many Muslim players in our team, this is not good, people of Nice are not happy with this, I'm not happy with this, we need more white player in there. His son, John Valovic Galtier, his adoptive son, who is also his agent, said the same thing. So he's also in trouble. And Julien Fournier put all of that in writing in an email to Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Ineos, who owns Nice. And after a long investigation, the police have interviewed a lot of people, from Fournier to Galtier to John Valovic to Dev Brailsford to Jim Ratcliffe himself, to a lot of the players, DJ Digard, the former Nice manager. And they decided that they had enough to charge John Valovic Galtier and Christophe Galtier. So
charge him based on what?
Discriminatory comments. I think there's another racial abuse, maybe, something like that.
It's a couple of things. I'm not super clear on this, and I am not a lawyer, and you know my views on lawyers.
Yeah.
But so Fournier, who's accusing him, he's got evidence that at the time he sent an email to his superior at the club and say, like, guys, deal with it.
Yeah.
Are they in trouble? Are the police satisfied with the way they dealt with it? I guess what I'm driving at, could Ratcliffe and Nice
I don't
face?
Think so.
Okay. The other thing is, he can put this in an email. Does he have concrete evidence if the other people, or is it just a he said, she said, balance of probabilities type thing?
So it is on this email matter, if you want. The problem is, I think in the interviews of the players, the Nice players, that Galtier was the coach last season, I mean the season before the one that just finished, there was a lot of tension there. I wouldn't be surprised, we don't know yet, we haven't had access yet to all the investigation, but if some players who, for example, during Ramadan were not happy by some of Galtier's comments on the players who were
Observing Ramadan.
Jean-Claire Todibo, for example, who at some point like clashed with Galtier over some things that Galtier apparently said about players during the Ramadan. So I wouldn't be surprised if, more than just the email, there was also players testifying against Galtier for what he said during Ramadan or against Muslim players.
I'm assuming you would need that, other eyewitness
accounts. Yeah, I think so too. Remember Raymond Dennis, Gabby? He's 41 years old, or years young, if you want to put it that way, and he will now get to see him play European football again next season.
This is just in there because I love the guy's email, the guy's nickname, El Tanque.
El Tanque.
Germán Dennis. Yes, German he signed for La Fiorita, who are from San Marino. They'll be playing in the Europa Conference League next season.
Oh,
which
my God. That's amazing.
I think we should go out there. I think we should go to San Marino, do the show from there.
Yeah.
And, you know, although, of course, they're probably playing in the preliminary round, which is probably
tomorrow.
Yeah, right, tomorrow. The Daily Mail reporting that the 2026 World Cup final, which many predicted would be played in Dallas, might now be moved to MetLife Stadium in New Jersey.
Right.
AKA Giant Stadium.
Giant Stadium.
Old-timers call it.
Yeah.
Because of the Texas heat. Now, I don't fully understand this, given that the AT&T Stadium is a dome and presumably air-conditioned. Are they just concerned about fans
outside? Exactly. They're thinking about people of this world.
Game. Everybody takes public transportation and walks to the game.
Yeah, that's one thing that U.S. stadiums have is huge car parks, which we don't have in Europe, for example. I don't know about the one in Dallas. I'm... Is this something to do with the times, maybe, or the time difference between Dallas and New Jersey? Not even. I'm trying to think of why would you change it if you had your eyes set on Dallas.
Yeah, I also want to say something. I don't think they will change it. I think Dallas makes a ton of sense because it's, much as I hate saying this because of my thoughts on the Cowboys and Jerry.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
But Dallas is in the middle of the country.
It is.
Secondly, MetLife Stadium or Giant Stadium is an absolute pain in the butt. I think
to get to, you mean? Yeah.
I think there's a lot of FIFA people, like FIFA executives and stuff, who are like, oh, no, Dallas, all right. I like barbecue, but no, surely New York is more glamorous and more fitting. I want New York or L.A. Well, you know what? Like, Giant Stadium is not in New York. It's in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It's exit 16W or something like that of the New Jersey Turnpike. It's not there. It is a pain to get there. You get traffic. You have to get there way early and whatever else. Dallas Stadium makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to stick with that. Is it going to be really hot? Yeah. But guess what? It can get really hot in New Jersey as well in the summer.
I think that's very true.
People who live there know how to take precautions. The stadium is air conditioned. I think you're fine once you're inside.
Yeah. More Barca, got Prime, the drinks, is now the official hydroponic drink of Barcelona. KSI and Logan Paul must be delighted.
What does hydroponic mean?
You get it's very refreshing.
Yeah, I discovered when I saw this, I thought, oh, interesting. And then I realized that Prime are already the official hydroponic drink of Arsenal.
That's it. That's
and
right.
I had no idea. And I live in London.
It says Prime everywhere at the Emirates, even when you watch
never
on television.
I never noticed. I guess I am immune to this kind of advertising. Yeah, people are supposed to make fun of Prime and KSI, Logan Paul, influencers. I actually had some recently when I went walking in the Lake District.
And
it's not bad. I feel refreshed.
See, there's different tastes. There's, you know. It's just...
But again, you got to see we'll see the numbers on this. I'm always curious. My sense is that KSI and Logan Paul get a lot of attention when they first do this.
I
don't know that this moves the needle at all, and Catalans are suddenly going to, you know, go picking up those Prime bottles. I thought it was only going to be till the end of the season, but no, Roy Hodgson enjoyed his time at Palace so much. They enjoyed him so much that, guess what? He's back for another year, 75 years young. Another one.
I don't know what to say. This is not what I would have done. I don't really understand what Crystal Palace are doing right now. Why don't you go and get someone who can start a new cycle building? This is not a new cycle. This is an old cycle that you're recycling, that you've recycled before, that you're going to recycle again. I'm not saying that Patrick Vieira had all the answer. You sacked Patrick Vieira after he had terrible 10 or 12 games in a row, but playing against Arsenal, City, Manchester United, Newcastle, all the... And then Roy did well. He did really well when he came in. I think he got 19 points out of 24, something like that. I can't remember. Against teams, all teams from the second half of the table at a time where they had nothing to play for, pretty much. So, okay. I don't know how you move your club forward by appointing Roy again. I love Roy. He's a lovely guy.
I think
Crystal Palace fans deserve better than that.
This is not a knock on Roy Hodgson, and you can say he got those points against the guys who were near the bottom of the table. I don't care if he got those points against Manchester City, Real Madrid, and Guardians of the Galaxy. That makes no difference, right?
Yeah.
To me, it's a fact that it's a one-year deal, and he's 75 years old. Surely teams want to progress, want to go forward with a plan.
I agree.
Roy Hodgson isn't going to have a plan, not because he's bad or he's a bad person who doesn't plan long term, but because when you're 75 years old and you have a one-year contract, just as important, you're not going to be planning long term.
Yeah.
So if you want to come in to save you, rescue the club like you did last season, if you thought it was necessary, fine. But in these circumstances, no, makes zero sense to me.
I agree. It's now official. Sandro Tonali is a Newcastle player. Gabby, what do you make of it?
I can't wait for all those articles talking about, like, is he the new Pirlo? Is he not the new Pirlo? Whatever. I think he's a good signing. I think he's a great compliment for what they have in midfield, especially with Bruno Guimarães. I think you can do a lot of interesting things. It's big for Milan because it means that they have a lot of money coming in.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons, by the way, why Chelsea were holding out for 25 million because they're like, oh, you're getting the Tonali money, not realizing that Milan need to sign several players with that money. I'm excited to see him work.
Me too, a lot.
What I would caution against is that, you know, he's going to be tired because obviously he did the Euro 21s.
Yeah, but he's going to have holidays now, right? They're not going to ask him to turn up at training tomorrow.
No, I think it's still going to be an adjustment. But I am really, really excited. I feel frankly that this might be, and I might be forgetting somebody, and I apologize. But I think this might be the first Italian international who has gone, to a big club abroad in a big league, kind of at the peak of his career. I don't know if I'm forgetting somebody.
No, I see what you mean.
Maybe Di Matteo a million years ago.
No, but Cannavaro to Real Madrid?
Well, he's not a midfielder.
So you said midfielder, so I thought you meant Italian player.
Maybe, Verratti went when he was very young to Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, from Serie B.
He's basically Spanish now, plus he's Abruzzese, nobody can understand him when he talks. So, I find this really intriguing.
But was if he was forced, he would not have moved, right? Had Milan not said, listen, we need some money, we need to sell you. He's a Milan fan, right?
Yeah.
He would not have moved.
He's from down the road in Brescia. I think ideally Milan would not have sold him. If Charles de Ketelaar had worked out and he'd been an 80 million player and Newcastle had come knocking and Dan Ashworth says, well, we like de Ketelaar and we like Tonali, Milan would have said, here, take de Ketelaar. I think that's the reality of it. But Milan have been very honest about this. They are running a business. They sign guys. It's not like they paid, I think it was 40 million for him 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So, when he was 20 years old. It's a profit, but it also shows you we knew he was good. And this is the reality of where Milan are right now in terms of how they want to run the club. Cesc Fabregas has retired from football. Jules, help me put the great man in context.
One of the greatest passer of the game. Gabi, one of the most creative players as well. Incredible football IQ, intelligence. I mean, I think Chelsea fans and Arsenal fans, Barcelona fans will have great memories. There were moments where they might have been a bit frustrated by his temperament and the character and the way he wanted to leave Arsenal, for example, or whatever. But I just think that if you just stick to the football and him on the pitch, it was a joy to watch. I remember him breaking through the Arsenal team at 15, 16. It was an incredible prodigy, really was. Not that you see many often. And then he had the career, okay, maybe not winning the Champions League. That's the only thing really missing out. But apart from that, just everything plus all the highlight reel, the passes, the goals, some of the ones he scored. Just a great, great guy. For me, who knew him well from a very young age, I have to say I only have love for him and respect.
There's two things sort of non-football-wise that stand out for me. One is a story, which I think has been told many times, about how the rules in European football say that you can only move when you're 16 years old. And that you can't sign a professional contract though until that age. And this is how, less so today because there's more of a gentleman's agreement, but back then clubs had no compunction about going in and offering money, taking players. He was so young, and I think the guy who looked after him at Barcelona, where obviously he came through the ranks at La Masia, I think he was fired or let go. He left a note saying, try explaining why we let this guy get away, which is a tremendous thing. Other thing I remember going for lunch with him. He must have been maybe 19 years old, something like that. He's already an Arsenal first teamer, and he took us back to the digs that he lived in when he the family he lived with when he was 16 years old. And he talked about how weird it was that people called him Fabregas. He said one of the early games, people started singing his name. And he's like, is my dad here? Like, I just love the fact he was mature, but he was funny beyond his years. A great player. And good luck to him now. Yeah. Como?
Yeah.
By the lake.
He's one of those that will always going to become a coach. And even now, it's only the beginning, but you wouldn't be surprised if he became a really, really good coach. It wouldn't be a World Cup without a row over armbands, of course. Gabi, FIFA won't allow the One Love armband. At the World Cup, the Women's World Cup, apparently we allow armbands designed by them featuring a Pan-African and pansexual inspired design. I'm not even sure I even understood the question.
This whole thing is so stupid, and I know people have a professional obligation to bash FIFA at every time. I don't think FIFA are helping themselves with this one. I also think we need to be a little bit realistic. So the One Love armbands, if you read about it, it's not quite a rainbow design, but has some rainbow colors to support LGBT. That was designed for the Qatar World Cup, but there's a different sensitivity. Mm. we know what happened. FIFA said no, whatever. And then FIFA decided, we'll make our own armbands with these messages of unity, especially considering that in the women's game, there are many, many more players who identify as members of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
So they've come out with another one, which is also pro-LGBTQ. I mean, when you start talking pansexual designs, whatever that means, I'm assuming that is supportive of... Yes. These communities in general, I don't know why we're arguing about this. What I will say is, if you're going to make a protest, and this applies to everybody, make a freaking protest and face the consequences. Like Tommy Smith and John Carlos in 1968 in Mexico City. Face it. In the same way, those European FAs and Norway, who wasn't even at the World Cup, but decided to jump on the bandwagon and said, oh, we're gonna wear the armbands. And then at the end, the minute they might have to face consequences, say, no, they're not. You know, the minute they go poo their pants over this, I hope if women feel that if there are women at this World Cup who feel that this is not enough, they want to make more, they're willing to make a protest, I will totally support anybody who makes a protest if it's nonviolent and whatever, not dangerous, if they're willing to face the consequences. Mm. But to want to rubber stamp a protest ahead of time, that makes no sense. That's not what it is about.
Yeah.
At least not to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jules, this brings us to an end. But we got to come back. We're going to be back later this week for the final
one
of the 2022-23 season. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.